Amen. Who's ready for a harvest? You know, to reap that harvest, we've got to be sure we put seed in the ground. Amen.
Yes.
And what I love about God's word is when he talks about when we sow, his promise is to provide. Amen. And Luke 6:38 is a great promise from God. And it says, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Amen.
Amen.
Give and you shall receive. I got a little story I want to tell you here at the start. I'm going to start my story here, and then I'm going to cut it off. And then we're going to finish it at the end, if I remember. So help me remember, Ronnie, okay. But back in the late 80s and the early 90s, I worked at the Leedy Co-op. And one summer during harvest, Pat Crowley and I, we were down there taking care of the elevator. And we got a run going, and it was keeping us hooked up. And I was trying to take samples and get weights and stuff for Pat and then run to the back and dump wheat and run back to the front and get some more. And in doing this, when you're getting a sample of wheat, of course the farmer, they bring it in their grain truck, and you've got a long probe, and on that probe all the way down through there are slots so you can stick it into the wheat and get a sample from all different depths. Because believe it or not, you know, a farmer might try to sneak in some wet wheat or some trashy wheat or something, try to sneak it by you. But anyway, that's the whole purpose of that, is to try to catch that so you get an accurate sample of what's in the truck. And then when you get that sample, then you go in and you've got a little cup and you pour that into it, and it's always more than what will fill the cup. Then you just take a straight edge and you level it off, and that'll give you the weight. Like an example is a 60-pound wheat is good. Anything above that is better. It'll pay you a little bit more. Anything below that, well, you start getting docked a little bit. So anyway, we're swamped, and one of our board of directors, he happened to come by and with a load, and he just parked it to the side, and he started helping us. He said, I'll do samples and stuff, and you go dump. So I go back there in the back, and I'm dumping, and we finally get caught up, and he comes around to dump his wheat. And when I get back up there, and after we've weighed him out so he can leave, well, Pat starts laughing. And I asked her what was going on. She said, well, I didn't have time to really watch him while he was doing it, but I got to noticing some of the people, all of a sudden, they started getting 61 and 62-pound wheat. And their previous samples had been around 58, maybe 59. And she said, I know it was coming from the same field, and I said, just generally it don't fluctuate that much. So, but the last time on his load, she watched him. And he would take that, and he got his sample. He poured it in there, but instead of leveling it off, well, I'll finish it here in a minute. We serve a generous, giving God. Amen. There's five things I want to look at today as far as giving is goes, and it is giving is compassionate, giving is a ministry, giving is wise, giving is worship, and giving is safe. And when you look at these things, they're really all kind of just intertwined. If you're doing one, you're probably doing all the other four with it. But we're going to just kind of break them down and talk about each one just a little bit. And the passage I'm going to look at is from Philippians chapter 4. And it starts in verse 14 through 19. But the first one we're going to see is just verse 14. It says, nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now, this is Apostle Paul talking. And as you know, he went through some stuff. Amen. Excuse me. He went through some stuff. He suffered throughout his ministry. And Paul was very grateful that the Philippians, in an act of kindness and compassion, sent him financial aid to alleviate some of his stress, his burden. And if you've ever been part of any kind of ministry, and if you don't believe me, you can ask Mark and Jada. But it's a great burden leading a ministry. Amen. That's a big burden. You've taken on a big responsibility for God. So anytime you can help a ministry, you're showing compassion upon them. Amen. And I was reading in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. And then also we're going to read in Acts 4, 32 through 35. And it shows a compassion at a level I don't know that we could ever reach. But it says this in Acts chapter 2. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Amen. Thank you. Now, Acts 4, 32 through 35, it says, now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked. For all who were possessors of land or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet. And they distributed to each as anyone had need. Think about that a minute. Who's willing to go out and just sell your house right now and lay it at the apostles' feet? That would be a huge act of compassion and generosity, amen, when we look at that. I was thinking about that, you know, and I was blessed to be able, when my mom and dad passed away, you know, I inherited some land. And they talk about this here, you know, and I just don't know. I would like to think I could if I needed to. But I don't know if I could just go out and sell my land and then lay it at my apostle, which I consider Mark, my spiritual, even though I'm older than him, he's my spiritual father. You know, that would be difficult, amen. But here they are in their act of generosity and seeing what God can do. They were willing and able to sell their possessions and give to the ministry. Excuse me just a second. And that leads us into the next thing, that giving is ministry. You know, when they sold their possessions and gave into the apostles, they become part of the ministry. And Paul talks about this in Philippians 4:15. It says, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. That's a powerful statement. It was them and them only that reached out to help Paul in his distress and his trouble and to support his ministry. They were not merely supporting Paul's ministry, they were partnering in his ministry. Their financial assistance of Paul's missionary activity made them a part of that work themselves. And that's what when we give to the church, you become a part of this ministry. Amen. And I'm going to talk about here in a little bit some of the things that we give to, that we support that it's just for us to understand. It's important for us to understand that giving is not simply a way to support Christian ministries, but it makes you a part of the ministry itself. And I know I'm kind of going through these a little fast because I'm ready to get to the last one. That's where the big hammer's coming. Amen. Giving is wise. Philippians 4:17. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. I don't know much about investing. I don't do much. Little simple Roth IRAs, you know. But I do know that investing is wise. And if you do it with wisdom, that successful investing produces increasing returns. When the scripture talks about investing our resources in gospel ministry, we see again and again that this is wise because it is abundantly fruitful. I'm not ultimately seeking your money, is what Paul says, but I'm seeking the fruit that increases to your credit. Paul is simply following a principle laid out by Jesus, where it says in Matthew 6:19-21, that do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus is saying that it's possible to invest in all kinds of things in this life. There's treasures on earth, but they can be taken from us. Amen. Criminals can steal them. Time and age can wear them down and diminish them. Stock markets can crash and destroy them. If anybody remembers, it wasn't here very long ago, we had a big decline in the stock market. And it seems like every 6 to 8 years we have a big reset in the stock market. That can, I know the one in 2008, if you remember the big housing crisis, that hurt a lot of people. A lot of people who were ready for their retirement and stuff, you know, and then all of a sudden it was diminished and they was like they were starting all over again. But there's another kind of investing that is completely secure. We can lay up treasures in heavenly things. We can invest in the work of building Christ's kingdom. Investing in Christ's kingdom gives amazing results. Amen. Giving is worship. And I talked a little bit about this at the beginning, that one of the things that we believe around here is that giving is an act of worship. That's why we don't pass the plate. We believe it's a time during worship to bring your offering up here and place it in the basket or back there. And then a little plug. I don't know, did we get Facebook going, Micah? Don't know. But for those who watch online, hopefully we'll get it up later, that I want you to know you can give and support this ministry by going to hfchurch.com and hitting the donate button and support us that way. There's also, Mark's got some more great teaching on giving on that page that you can look up. Philippians 4:18, it says, indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Rod the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Paul's using the language that you see a lot in the Old Testament. The fragrant offerings and acceptable sacrifices. To make this point clear, that what the Philippians sent him was an act of worship and it was pleasing to God. Amen. There's this old saying, you know, that there's a string that connects your wallet directly to your heart. And when you reach for that wallet, to give, to help someone, to support a ministry, whatever. You know, when you pull that wallet out and it tugs on your heart, is it tugging on a grateful and willing heart? Or does it tug on a grudgingly or resentful heart? That's why you say, especially guys, if they carry the wallet in their front pocket like I do, when they pull it out, they're kind of bending over, it's tugging. Mark 12:41-44. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. And many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in 2 mites, which makes quadrants. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all she had, her whole livelihood." Jesus watches us when we give. He wants to see your heart. He wants to see how you are reacting when you give. If you're a cheerful giver or a reluctant giver, he's watching. We worship when we give. Giving is not merely supporting a person or a ministry. Giving is not merely about following a command. More than this, giving is about heartfelt worship to the Lord. You're acknowledging, "God, you own everything. All that I have is a gift from you. So I willingly and joyfully release your resources for your work." So I'll say this, give willingly and joyfully, amen? And it'll release the generosity of God over your life. 2 Corinthians 9:6-15. This was a long one. "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever." Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed. Supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. And by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. There is no better gift than giving. Like I said, that's why we don't pass the plate. We believe it's something that you do heartfelt, joyfully, cheerfully, bring your tithe, your offering, your giving to the Lord. Amen. I'll talk just a little bit about some of the giving and stuff that happens here in the church. And as I was doing this, I was going back through the years, kind of see how our giving compared today to what it's been in the past. And I'll tell you right now, year to date, from January 1 through September 30th, actually, our giving has been $86,209. That sounds like a lot, doesn't it? But I went back, and I don't know what was supposed to be special about the year 2015. But during the same time frame, this is what happens when people really set your heart in to support a ministry and give. But through the same time period, through the third quarter of the year 2015, we took in tithes and offerings of $195,078. Is that not amazing? That was during the time we were trying to pay our, we were trying to pay the church building off. We had taken out a loan in 2009 to finish paying. We had paid $160,000 in cash as we got started, and then we took out a $300,000 loan to finish the building, and set it up for 15 years, but we wanted to pay it off as fast as possible. At the time we set it up, it really looked like it was going to take the 15 years. And then I wished I didn't have 2014 on my computer to go back and see. But in that year of 2015, 6 years later, we paid the church note off. During that same time frame, we paid $96,000 to pay off the church note. Paid it off in 6 years, and I think that is just amazing. Amen. Some of the things that we do, first I tell you, just to meet our basic needs of the church, we need about $8,000 a month. And that's just covering the basics, not doing anything above and beyond, keeping the lights on, keeping the water flowing so we have a nice clean bathroom and not an outhouse. You know, pay insurance, just stuff like, just basic, just like in your household, we have the basic needs here. But some of the other things that we support, and I put them into our basic needs because it's kind of like our tithe as a church coming together that we send out to bless and support other ministries. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." And Romans 2:10 says, "But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." That's why, read right there, it says the Jews first. That's why we support Amy Downey and Sadaka Ministries. Amy's made it her mission in life to reach as many of the Jewish people as she possibly can. Because we know that Israel was God's first love. Amen. And there's too many Jews passing away in this world who don't know the love of Christ. And she's doing everything in her power to make sure that they receive Christ. And we're supporting her in that. And I know she's making a big move. I think she announced it on Facebook, but she's been based in Waxahachie, Texas, but she's sold her home and stuff there, and she's fixing to move to New York where there's a huge Jewish population. And if you've been keeping up with the news over the last year, you know the Jews have been, persecuted, basically, is a good way to say it. The things happening in New York to the Jewish community there. So that is one of the ministries that we give to. Matthew 19:6 says, "So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate." And Ephesians 5:23-25 says, "For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. And here's one for the ladies. Proverbs 18:22. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. And all the married ladies said, amen. Amen. Marriage is under attack in this world. I heard Pastor Robert Morris give a message I was listening to this week, Betty and I was, and he talked about the divorce rate in the church is now at the same rate as it is in the secular world. And that's one of the reasons why we support Marriage Today. Pastor Jimmy Evans. Pastor Jimmy, he was a pastor at Trinity Fellowship Association when he started Marriage Today. He's now stepped down as senior pastor, and this is what they devote their time to is saving marriages. Amen. And I know that Pastor Mark and Jada, they thank the world of Pastor Jimmy, and this is very important to them. So we do that. Another thing we do, in Psalms 33:11, it says, the counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Psalm 73:24, you will guide me with your counsel and afterward receive me to glory. And Proverbs 8:14, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding, I am strength, or I have strength. Just talking about marriages and that the divorce rate that's happening right now, it's important to seek counsel if you fall in that category. I've been through one. I've got the T-shirt. It's not fun. It's hard on everybody. But that point in time in my life, I wasn't following God. So counsel and sound wisdom was nowhere to be found for me. And this is one of the reasons why I love that we support Vine Life Ministries out of Oklahoma City and Sherry Pruitt. It's based solely on the Bible. They give sound biblical advice and counsel at Vine Life Ministries. And I know several people in our church have been through their classes and are certified to counsel. And Mark and Jada are. I believe Jennifer Bourne has went through it. Patricia maybe went through it, I think. Betty and I have went through it. Even I have. It's a fun fact for you. I actually aced my very first. We had to do a mock counseling session and was graded on it, and I actually aced that thing. And Sherry looked at me and she said, I'm just shocked. I didn't think you had it in you. I'm like, well, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Amen. Counsel is important. One of the other things that we support, really it's kind of a requirement since we're associated, but it is TFAC, which is the Trinity Fellowship Association of Churches. And this association was started by Pastor Jimmy Evans when he was at Trinity Fellowship in Amarillo. And when you're not associated with somebody like the Baptist or Methodist churches, you know, they got huge resources for all their churches. For a standalone church, there's not much out there. So Pastor Jimmy, he started up Trinity Fellowship Association. I forget, Mark was 2 or 3 years into starting this church when he come across TFAC through, I think it was Michael Dyer. And he said, this is what we need to be tied with. We need to be connected. And they were a great resource and a great help to Mark when he was first starting this church. One of the things they helped us to do was by these chairs that you're sitting in. Pretty good chairs, aren't they? They're pretty comfy. But that's just one of the things to do. And so we support them. What they ask back is that we give 2% of our tithes and offerings for the month to support them, to help them to plant other churches, support other churches that's maybe just starting. I know there's churches, I believe the churches are now in Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, Colorado, and New Mexico. It just seems they're just spreading farther and farther out. And so that's one of the other things that we support. Some of the other things that we do throughout the years, we do the shoebox, and the Pregnancy Health Center, the Leedy Education Foundation. There's several other too, but that's just kind of give you an idea of when you give into this church, what we're also giving back out to help. To the Jews first, and to support the marriages in this world, support good biblical counseling, and to try to make a difference in the world, not just here in Leedy, but to spread it out. Amen? Amen. Okay, so here's where I was wanting to get to. And I never really thought of it like this, but giving is safe. And Philippians 4:19 is a great promise that Paul tells us about. And it says, and my God will meet all your needs, according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Most investing involves risk. And this is generally one of the main reasons why people maybe struggle with giving. Is if, man, if I give my tithe to the church, and I'm going to talk about tithing here in a minute, will I have enough to meet all my needs? I hear that a lot just in conversations and stuff that I've had with people. Well, this month's kind of tight, and I just don't know that I can give. I'll just say it like this. You can't afford not to. Rest assured, when God says something, he will do it. My God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Amen. Tithe. Leviticus 27:30 says, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. The tithe belongs to God. Amen. What is a tithe? A tithe is returning back to God what he's already given you. And tithe just literally means this. It means a tenth. It means a tenth of your income. Of course, back then it wasn't income that they mostly gave. It was livestock and fruits and vegetables and things like that. But God always wanted the first to be returned to him. And there's a great promise in I'm going to talk about it here in a minute. I'm getting ahead of myself. But there's a great promise that God gives us when we tithe, that he will take care of us. And I hear this a lot. I hear people say, well, tithe was Old Testament. It's not New Testament anymore. We're in a new and better covenant. And I'll say this, yeah, we are. And most of the time, if you read in the New Testament, when it talks about giving, it talks about generous giving. To me, it talks about giving more than just 10%. If you really want to get down to it. It talks about more. And it also talks, Jesus himself talks about it and it says that we shouldn't neglect it. In Matthew 23, verse 23, it says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. And then I like this. Blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. We're not to ignore the weightier laws. Justice, mercy, and faith. We don't ignore them, but we also don't ignore the tithe, because he said these you should do without leaving the others undone. Don't just rely on justice, mercy, and faith. And I'll say this. If you're still struggling, you're thinking, I don't know about that, you know. And I'll say this, tithing is not a heaven or hell situation. It has nothing to do with your salvation. Amen. It's just an act of returning, being grateful for all the things that God has done to you. And Malachi 3, verses 6 through 10 talks about this, and it says, for I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Praise God. Amen. Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, this is us, this would be us talking here. In what way shall we return? And here's what God replies. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. And here we are again saying, in what way have we robbed you? And God's answer is in tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And here it is. Here's the big promise right here. And it says, and try me now in this. A lot of versions will say, test me. God is saying, you can test me in this area right here. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Notice what he says here. He says, and see, if I will not open for you not a window of heaven, but the windows of heaven. God's going to open them all and pour out such blessing that you will not be able to contain it. And he goes on to say, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. That's a great promise right there, amen. We started this with Luke 6:38. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Okay, I remembered I want to finish my story right here. But I told you that actually, what would happen, I don't know if I was to tell you this anyway, but Pat was telling me what he had done. And he said, you'll just have to see it to believe it. And so it wasn't, I don't know, maybe an hour later, he showed back up with a load of wheat. And I watched him. I let him do it. He was ready, willing, and able. He got his sample. He poured it in there. And instead of taking that and leveling it off, he took that ruler and he started hitting it and packing it down in there and tamping it. And when it spilled over into the tray that this cup was in, well, he would scoop that up, put it on there, and he would tamp it, and he kept hitting it. Well, that's how he was going from 58-pound wheat to 62-pound wheat. And I was like, you can't do that. He's like, what? You can't do that. But anyway, what I want to tell you about that story is this is a perfect example of what God wants to do for you in the area of giving. as he watches you as you give, and he sees you give, and he's up there, he's pouring blessings out into this cup. And I don't know if it's God himself doing it or if he's got angels in charge of it, but they're up there. I had this vision the other day that, like, they're tramping out grapes. They're up in there, and they're smashing it down, and they're packing it in there. And God just keeps pouring it in. And they're saying, God, it's overflowing. Stop. We can't pack it all in there. And God says, that's okay. He says, I want them abundantly blessed. I'm going to keep pouring it. You keep packing it in there. I want them beyond blessed. I want people to see that they're blessed. I want their blessing to overflow to other people. Let's pour it in. I'll keep pouring. You keep packing, I'll keep pouring. Give to the breakthrough. That was the title of my message today. I don't know if I told you that. But that's the breakthrough right there. It's when God is just filling it and filling it and filling it, and you're giving and you're reaping the benefits, and you're seeing what a generous, giving God that we serve, how much he loves you. Give to the breakthrough. There's a story in the Bible. It's in 2 Kings chapter 4, if you remember. It talks about the widow and she's got two sons, and her husband has died, and the debts are coming due, and she doesn't know what to do. They're coming to take everything from her. And a prophet, Elisha, comes through town, and she asks him, what can I do? And he says, what do you have? And she says, all I have is one jar of oil. So he tells her, he says, you and your sons go out and gather up every jar, every vessel you can find. And you take that jar and you start filling them. And you keep filling them. And you fill every jar and everything you can get your hands on out of this one jar of oil. And she does that. And then one day her sons come in and say, we cannot find, there's no more vessels. So she goes to the prophet and tells him. And the oil dries up and it quits flowing. But he tells her, he said, now go and sell that and pay your debts, and you and your sons live off what's left. You and your sons live off what's left. God will provide. But I have to wonder, in listening to this story, what would have happened if they would have just taken some of them jars they'd already filled and sold them and went and bought more vessels and just kept that flowing constantly. Went and paid their debt off, but yet kept buying new vessels and kept that flowing. Go beyond the breakthrough. That's why I'm thinking right now I should have titled this Give Through the Breakthrough. You know, when the breakthrough comes, there's no reason to quit. Amen. Continue to aim beyond the breakthrough. God wants you blessed abundantly. There'd be some people that say, what I'm talking about today is prosperity gospel. I can guarantee you that God wants you to prosper. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. He wants you blessed. He wants you highly favored. He wants you to live in the breakthrough, through the breakthrough. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I come to you today in the name of Jesus, and I just thank you, Lord, for this day and for this opportunity. Lord, I thank you for everyone here, and I want to lift them up to you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord. I know the heart of this church and the people here, and I know that everybody here has a big, generous heart for you, for this ministry. And so I just lift them up to you, Lord, today, that as they give, that you just continue to overflow their cup. Press it down, shake it together. Run it over. Bless them, Lord. Watch over them, protect them. And Lord, I just want to lift up this ministry and thank you for Pastor Mark and Jada, for their heart that they have for everyone here. Lord, I thank you. I know it's Pastor Appreciation Month, and I just want us to be a blessing to them, not a burden. As we give you praise and glory today, Lord, I thank you and praise you for your son, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for the gift of eternal salvation that we have through his sacrifice. And we just love you and praise you and thank you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Have a blessed and highly favored week. Amen. Amen.
The God I serve knows only how to triumph.